Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Wonder when Miley Cyrus is going to be doing the tour.
She'll
do some bang up business too, I would imagine. Welcome back, it's Donna and Steve. My Talk 107.1, where talk is fun. Donna Valentine has the day off today. She's chosen to spend it in Newark because it's a free country, damn it. That's why. Elizabeth Reese is here.
Thanks for having me. I love hanging out with you guys.
Twin Cities Live today is going to be live in Medina. At the Medina
Entertainment Center.
Wow.
Yeah, we've got a big show planned for the afternoon. So it'll be really fun. We like these road shows. They're always wild, and I feel like I lose some of my hearing.
That's very fun. Now, just as a part of my healing.
Yes.
Like you guys are going to Ireland. I'm Irish. And now you guys are going to Ireland as Twin Cities Live trip. That's cool.
I go next month.
We pitched a couple different times that you and I would go on the same cruise and make it a really big thing.
I know. We really wanted to do that.
And they said no. Right. And now I left. And that is happening. Also,
Hawaii. Ben Lieber and I go to Hawaii.
Great. Good for you guys.
Next February.
And now we used to have to do a split show for Twin Cities Live in your town. One of us would go to the location. The other person would stay back.
I know.
And now the two of you, I guess, do it together.
Yes.
Okay. Has anything else changed that you just want to say?
Because then we have the KHs in the studio. Kelly Hansen and Kristen Hobrick. They stay in the studio.
Okay.
I mean, the pay's gotten better.
Why would you do this to me? I mean, it probably got better because I left.
That's gotten a lot better. So that's a positive thing about it. You know, I work less, make more. No. We miss you. We love you. I adore you. You know that.
Mike, are you hearing that?
And you co-hosted last week with me for the first time since you abandoned me.
Yep.
And
ratings
bonanza. It was really nice to have you back. We had a really good time. I really do feel lucky. Like, I think about these co-hosts that I've gotten to have, and it's just the best. Some people have to work with people who are the worst and you don't have a real friendship with. I mean,
yeah, that's tough.
It's really nice to have.
That is kind of tough.
Like at my funeral, you are going to be sobbing. You are going to be in the room. I can't even imagine. Well, I'll be haunting you, but when you make your entrance.
Yes, which will be dramatic, and I will be the last person in the room. That's my hope.
Cathedral in which I am laid to rest. You will be, you'll wear a black veil over your full face.
Why would I hide it?
And then you will lift it, and you will have some sort of spotlight come down upon you the lifting is happening, and you will be a snotty mess.
So that's what the veil will reveal. Mm-hmm. It's just I'm splotchy red, because again, I'm Irish, and that's just how we process emotion.
Yeah.
And then
your hands will be even shakier than normal. Sorry.
What are you trying to do?
I'm just painting a picture of what my funeral's going to be like.
I inherited my shaky hands from my father, whose hands have always shaken.
Hi, Kevin.
I know. I cannot get them steady.
Yeah.
Ever. Ever.
I know.
Ever.
I know. I think it's part of your charm.
Sometimes I'll be going to, and by the way, you guys, thank you. I know that you all are just all so loving and caring. Anytime we bring up something about like a physical ailment, people start then sending emails.
That's nice.
Don't worry. I don't need to get checked out. I know what you're all thinking I might have, but there will be times like.
You have other things that need to be checked out for sure. For sure.
I could be like in a situation where I'm like going to stir something. And if it's the wrong time of night and I'm tired because of the morning clang and bang session, et cetera.
Yeah.
My arm can be in a position where I'm like going to stir and my hand is like shaking like I'm showing you right now.
Oh, geez, buddy.
Yeah. But I'm fine. I power through and it's part of my story.
Yeah. Yeah. It is part of your story. Like, what have you overcome? Anyway, that funeral is going to be epic.
Oh, yeah. Again, so, if you're just tuning in, that's Elizabeth already hyping her funeral.
That's a real Lutheran thing to do. That's a real like German Lutheran thing to do, to think about it.
Listen, I know a guy who built his own casket.
My dad always said, when I retire, first thing I'm going to do build my own casket.
I can,
that's a very,
I can send him pictures. No, he is not. But his name is Pilgrim George, and he's walked the world, and my dad is helping him make his casket. He's very at peace with death.
I would like the cheapest casket. Actually, I don't want a casket. I would like to be cremated, in case you were wondering.
Stick around. Crescent Tide Cremation has a spot coming up right after Rock O'Clock.
Well, I will participate.
Okay.
Because I'm not interested in being in the ground decomposing.
I was planning on talking about my trip to the Masters
this
week.
Oh, I'm so excited for you.
And yet here we are talking about your funeral.
No, I don't know how this happened. I want to know about this trip, because this is going to sound... This is like one of those things that at your funeral, when they have the poster board of pictures, I'm confident that a picture from this trip is going to make the cut.
You have me getting buried at a VFW, don't you?
Yes, I do.
So here's the thing. My brother, Josh, surprised us at Christmas. And there was an envelope that came over to us at dinner. And we're like, what is it? I thought it was the check.
Yeah.
And I was like, I get it, guys. I had a good year. But seriously, let's chop this up. And then I open it, and it is this beautifully printed card that says, you have been cordially invited a brother's trip at the Masters.
Oh,
and so in order to get any kind of tickets to the Masters, you have to enter a lottery. And he's entered this lottery for 15 or 20 years in a row. And then they email you and say, hey, you got in or you didn't. And you just get in whenever they tell you you're in, that's when you're in. So you can say you want practice round tickets. You can say you want tournament round tickets or any tickets. He said practice round or tournament. I'll take whatever you can do. If you get into the tournament, you get 2 tickets. If you get into the practice round, you get 4 tickets. We ended up getting into a practice round on Tuesday, this upcoming Tuesday. And I was telling you that I've read things where people say the practice round is the best time to be there in terms of just the laid back feel of taking in Augusta National and this historic golf course. And so many things have happened there, and not having to battle crowds as much. So you're not 15 people deep on the side of the fairway watching as the little white ball buzzes by, but you can sort of get in a little bit closer to golfers as they're doing practice rounds with each other and all that kind of stuff. So we're going. We'll fly out on Sunday. We're going to do a night at Topgolf. Monday, we're going to golf at some course in Augusta. And then on Tuesday, we will go to Augusta. But Mike found this menu that they have, because Augusta National is very difficult to get into. But they have very famously cheap food items.
Really?
So I'm going to read you the menu, and you can maybe give me some guidance on what to do. And I'll tell you the price of each of these as well.
Is it like a golf club, like a country club, like people are members there?
Yes.
Is that how it works?
Yes. It is like one of the most elite clubs you could ever go to.
What's the downstroke to get into that country club? It's got to cost you what? $500,000?
I would.
Yeah. I'd say.
Do you think?
It's like, I was thinking 250 or so. I'll find it here.
Oh, okay. Yeah. To get in.
But they have all sorts of, they have a very famous pimento and cheese sandwich.
That sounds wonderful. A pimento cheese sandwich.
Pimento, that is a sort of cheese?
Yeah, it's like a, yes. Well, because what they do is they make it. You make pimento cheese. I am being nice. You take those pimentos, you chop them up, and then you mix them into like a cheese mixture.
So you put it right into it. But a pimento isn't a cheese. So no, that wasn't as bad as me saying like a cheddar and cheese sandwich.
No, but it's like, it's essentially they like turn it into a cheese.
Okay.
It's like sort of like vegetable cream cheese. It's vegetables. In the cream cheese.
I don't know if I'm
But you wouldn't
it.
Necessarily say vegetables and cream cheese. You would say it's vegetable cream cheese because the vegetables have been blended into the cream cheese. Pimento cheese, sort of the same thing.
How much do you think they charge for this pimento cheese sandwich?
Well, I would say, you're saying cheap. Like my initial thought would be like, that would be like $18, because I feel like everything is $18.
That was the guess we were hoping for.
Mm-hmm.
That cost $1.50.
No way.
You want their egg salad? That's $1.50. You want their barbecue? Big spender. That's $3. You want a Masters Club sandwich made at Augusta? $3. Classic chicken? $3. So too the ham and cheese on rye, the turkey and cheese on wheat.
Have we gone back in time?
They have held their prices. I think there's been a little bit of movement, but like the pimento cheese sandwich has been $1.50. Forever.
That's because they're making 500 G's every time somebody joins that country club.
I think that could be it. Plus, once you buy that Augusta National polo that you're all excited about, that's probably like $140.
You're gonna get a couple wardrobe things, aren't you?
I got a couple wardrobe things.
Yeah, you got to get a couple things. That's going to be so fun.
You want a coffee at Augusta?
I do.
$1.50. Nice and easy.
Oh, my gosh.
Breakfast sandwich, they got those. It's $3.
Holy moly.
Chicken biscuit, $1.50. Blueberry muffin, $1.50. Fresh mixed fruit, $2. And frankly, that feels a little overpriced.
So you just said that if you go to a baseball game, you said this earlier in the show, I don't know if you remember, but we were both here, that on average, a person spends $51 when they go into a Major League Baseball game per person.
Yeah.
Now, you're going to buy some items, like souvenir-y things.
Yeah.
Some merch, if
you
will.
Yes, merch.
But when it comes to feeding and drinking yourself into an oblivion, I think you can probably get out of there for $25.
Well, how about this? You got soft drinks, water, iced tea. That's all $2. Beer is usually where they'll get you, and they'll get you desperate. Only $5 for a beer. That's domestic, that's import, that's craft. Chips are $1.50, peanuts $1.50.
You get three beers and a bunch of snacks, and you're looking at $25.
That's it. Unreal. You want to end the day with a Georgia peach ice cream sandwich?
I do.
$2
for
your
dessert.
And
isn't Josh paying for most of this anyway? You're really coming out ahead on this.
My brother Josh paid for the hotel, paid for the flight.
No, he did not.
Paid for Top Golf. I wonder if he paid for golf on Monday. I hope he didn't cheap out. Off the check. But yeah, we're being very well taken care of. So we're feeling pretty great about this. So yeah, I'll buy him a pimento cheese sandwich. Miguel.
And according to Golf Digest, we were a little off. Actually, Augusta National, only $40,000 to join, initiation fee, followed by a $5,000 annual membership. And you still have to pay $525 for a round of golf.
Every time you play. Yeah. That's really, that's interesting that it's that low.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's fascinating,
and
that
it's
you
so exclusive
that you pay that for every play, because if you like, we belong to a golf club.
Oh, wow.
You know, here we go. You don't pay to golf, then you just pay every month, and then you're a golf member, and then like you can get in as many rounds as you could get in.
Wow. And that's $525 a person.
Yeah.
So if you're the member and you're taking guests and you're paying for them, that's $2,000 for a round of golf. We got to go. We're out of time. When we come back, we got a couple studies, maybe a little more Masters talk. It's Georgia, where I'm going. Augusta.
I know.
Flying into the ATL.
We just took the worst photo of us together that has ever been taken.
I left the gym. You ever have this happen? I'm sure I'm not alone here.
Oh my gosh.
Where you look in the mirror and you're like, all right, things are going pretty well.
We just look like idiots, both of us.
Well, I didn't like how I was looking, so I intentionally threw my face.
I tried to smile, but I closed my eyes when I was smiling, I think.
Yeah, it's a hard squint. But you know, like you leave, you look in the mirror and you're like, this is pretty good. All right. Then later you see yourself and you're like,
I'm going to post this picture.
I don't feel great.
Okay. Are you okay with that?
Oh, yeah, of course.
I'm going to post it.
Yeah.
Now, my head does look too big for my body, which, you know, I'm always trying to achieve and not great. And so
you're trying to achieve. You want that look or no?
Yeah, I always think like that'd be a great look.
The bigger head?
Yeah. Like her head is too big for her body. That's never happened to me.
Huh. I've been told I have a big head.
It's just so you have so much hair.
Yeah, I think what I saw a guy the other day who had like a buzz cut and light facial hair, just like maybe 5-6 days growth. And he looked super hot, right? He was just crushing it. And in my head, that's what I want to look like because I want to cut my hair.
You always told me that the day that you quit TV, you're shaving this head of yours.
But
you
told
me that for 7 years.
But I need there to be no TV stuff at all. And once there's no TV stuff, buzzing. Buzzing.
You're
Why
never
can't I buzz?
It. You're addicted to the screen. You'll never do it. You need the applause. You'll never do it.
Like Lady Gaga, that's my song that will play at my funeral. Yeah. I live for the applause.
Yes.
The applause.
I love all this funeral planning.
Yeah, Donna's filling out a death binder. She's doing like Swedish death cleaning, and then
what does that mean?
What's the binder? Here's what to do when I die, or something like that.
Oh, she's putting it all out there, and then in a safe somewhere so someone can find it.
Correct.
Oh, that's super
and
smart.
Here's this account. Here's that account.
Yeah. Hope nobody finds it while she's still living, because they'll have access to.
Well, but then she said, "I'm not going to put my passwords in there. They're going to be in a different place."
Oh, that's smart.
I don't know.
You got to be prepared for your death,
because it's going to come.
We're all heading there.
One way or another.
Not a single one of us will escape.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
Amen.
Death is undefeated. Father Time, they say. Undefeated. I'm still listening to that Tom Brady book, the It's Better to Be Feared. Mike, you would probably like that book. I'm listening to it on Audible.
Who wrote it?
Seth Wickersham, who is a ESPN journalist.
Is it like, is he, did Tom Brady approve of this? Or is it unauthorized?
Yeah. No, it's authorized in that he sat down with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick just years and years and years while they were together in the Patriots.
Yeah.
And there was a clause in this contract when the book deal was there, which was essentially the book can be released, but something has to happen first, which is Belichick needs to retire. Mm. Brady needs to retire. Or somebody needs to leave the Patriots.
Oh, that's cool.
So then Brady left and then he could publish the book. But he talked to them the whole time. So you really do get an inside look as to just how these guys prepared, what was going on when they won a Super Bowl. He told a story this morning that's in one of these chapters, and it's a 19-hour listen on Audible if listened to at 1.0.
Whoa.
Pappy's listening to it at 1.7.
Oh, my. I got things to do. 1.7? That is inappropriate. That's too fast.
I'm doing it.
You're not even getting the story.
I am.
This is deeply offensive.
I don't like going that high. I prefer a 1.5, but then I saw that
1.5.
The last time I listened to a book, it was Will Smith pre-slap, and he was just waxing poetic of like, I mean, in West Philadelphia, born and raised. I'm like, come on, let's go. So I sped him up, and it was pretty normal
to 1.5.
Yeah, and then I got through that long book, and it was very, very well written, very engaging. This book, though. I got at 1.7. I mean, it's like Tom Brady, and then he met Bill Belichick, and it was time for them to go to the Super Bowl. And by the time they got to the Super Bowl, here's what you figure out, Elizabeth, is that you can process information at a faster speed by listening to it. In the same way, we can all read faster than we think, but we sub-vocalize, and we say the word in our head, and sometimes with our mouth as we're reading in our head, and it slows us down. But if you release yourself, enter the matrix. You could read faster.
I remember when you were into speed reading was like that thing that you were trying to master. Didn't you have an speed app?
I did have an app.
Remember, this is every day. Hey, Libby.
I was really into
hey,
it.
Hey, Libby.
Oh, gosh.
Let me tell you about my new thing.
Let's see if that website's
there. You want to know? Hey, Libby, this is what I'm going to do every day.
My plan was to be so good at reading by now that you guys would be floored. I'd read through scripts. I'd read through multiple books a week. Spreeder.com, S-P-R-E-E-D-E-R. Now it looks like there's a pay situation there, but you can do a 7-day free trial. I had an app that then had like Aesop's Fables and all sorts of like classic literature that was just, what do they call that? Public domain. And then I could choose how fast I wanted it to read. So you do a test and I would say, okay, I read 225 words a minute. And then you would set it a little bit higher each day. 300, then go to 400, 500. And they're trying to, and they did some other tests with you too, so that you started to learn not to sub-vocalize. And one thing they would have you do is like moving your tongue or even counting while you read. So don't be reading in your mouth what you're reading. But if I was reading the first page of Huckleberry Finn, you can move your tongue up and down or like count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 quietly. But it helps you to disassociate trying to say in your head the word that you're reading.
Yeah.
And then it will either highlight one word at a time, one line at a time, chunks at a time, to the point where you could ramp this son of a bee, chop, where it would do a whole paragraph. It would flash highlight, boom, next paragraph. And that's how these psychos out there are reading just thousands of words a minute. They've entered the matrix. Libby, you have been living on planet Earth shackled by traditional understanding of how we process information.
It's fascinating how you have listened to this Tom Brady book at 1.7. Yeah. You're trying to speed read, and yet the way in which you described that speed reading was so slow. It just went on forever. I tuned it out. As soon as you started talking about the tongue movements, I was like, I'm freaking out, what? Man. I'm out.
Come on. That was supposed to be captivating. Go. That's almost seductive. What's he talking about his tongue for? What do we do with it while we read?
Oh, it went on forever. Thank God we're taking a break. I got to go to the bathroom.
He told a story about a long snapper this morning, and it was captivating. Who knew? All right, whatever. We're taking a break. Slow Jam is next. We started our initial descent, to be honest.
Oh, my goodness.
On this show, it's the Donna and Steve Experience on MyTalk 107.1. Elizabeth Reese is in for Donna Valentine today. We
Hi,
have
friends.
Got Miguel, Michael, the big Zamboni. He has pushed buttons, but oh, my gosh. I just looked at the clock.
Oh, my gosh.
The time will be rock o'clock.
Hello.
Mr. Bonello joins the class now.
Hi, Rocco. Yes.
Hello, Elizabeth. I'm so glad you're here because Friday is Slow Jam Day.
Yes.
And that's usually when we take, you know, something dumb these two said or three said.
These two.
During the week. But I was like, you know what? For Elizabeth Reese, I'm going to dig back to last Monday the, I don't know, whatever it was.
The 20th. 19th
or something, 20th, sure.
I think.
She was in for a struggling laryngitis ridden Donna Valentine.
Yeah, when Donna was like, Houston.
Do we still have that somewhere? No.
Oh my gosh. So good.
Anyways, I did find some fun stuff from that show, and I slowed it down to half speed.
Here's a fun fact before you push the button, Rocco. The first time that Elizabeth ever heard Slow Jam, way back when it was Drunk Donna and Stoner Steve, she listened. And she was like, was there something wrong with your show today?
I texted you.
Yeah,
I
was like everything sounds happening. Off. That was the beginning of what is now known as Slow Jam.
Well, here it is. Elizabeth played a part, and I think you all should hear it.
I'm going to slow things down.
That's right. We're going to slow things down for the lovers out there. This is the Donna and Steve Slow Jam.
I don't know what you want me to tell you. I'm halfway to 78.
Oh, my gosh. How fun is it going to be when you turn 40?
Lou and I will both turn 40 on our next birthdays. And I looked at her and I said, my bride, make eye contact with me. I want to speak to your soul. She said, Pappy, what will you say to me?
None of this happened, guys. Just FYI, there's no way that any of those words came out of Lou's mouth.
No, but I said, hey, this is the last time we'll both celebrate birthdays in our 30s. We'll be in our 40s next year. Why are you laughing at that? That's a good perspective thing to say. Oh my gosh. That's offensive. Wow. Guys, so what you get out of me as a spouse is someone who contextualizes life.
I mean, are you high when you're saying this stuff? Like, you're just like, look at my Lou. Look at my hand. My hand is right in front of my face. This is my hand, and it's attached to my body.
I thought that seemed like a really interesting thing to say.
Mike. I still do.
No, it wasn't at all.
Oh, yeah. That was the Donna and Steve Slow Jam.
Oh, my gosh. That's funny.
I still think that that's an interesting observation conversationally.
This is going to be the last birthday that we celebrate in our 30s. Yeah. That's good. That's a funny bit. That made me cry laugh. I had tears coming out of my eyes. It feels so good to laugh so hard on a gray, gray day.
Yeah. It's a little struggly out there right now. I thought you were going to pull up, Rocco. We went through... was it last week? We went through and we're talking about how chickens lay eggs.
Oh, right.
And
I don't even remember.
Was that last week's slow jam?
It was last week's slow jam. Then we talked a little bit about it afterwards, about the cloaca.
Yeah. So we were talking about, you familiar with chickens?
Yeah, I am.
If there weren't people.
Right.
And if it was just chickens, and I think we kind of got the answer to it,
what
if we
utopia.
Believe it.
Yeah, try again.
No, but think about this. Yeah. If there were no people and there were only chickens.
Yeah, I like this. This is like a movie plot.
Would you come back to Earth in a year and it's just littered with eggs?
Yeah.
But then, because then we're the ones who take them away, but apparently, see, I think the answer is yes, because I think the chicken, only if they continue to sit, once they stand up and walk around, do they have a nest?
Yeah. They'd have their own nest, and then they sit on the eggs as long as they need to.
But so then somebody said, well, maybe the world wouldn't be overridden. Like, I was thinking landfills of eggs a decade from now. No, just eggs everywhere.
Look what happens in Hawaii, in Oahu. Isn't Oahu the island where they have all the chickens? They've got, like, the wild chickens.
Not Oahu. Everywhere. It's, I went to this place. Oh, come on. It's where they filmed Jurassic Park. All it's right. called...
I don't know.
That other place.
So, that's... You just have tons of chickens, because then the mama chicken sits on the eggs, and then they hatch. And then guess what? There's like 10 of them, and there's tons of them. And there's just more chickens. Most people who have backyard chickens don't have a rooster, so they don't have fertilized eggs. You know, you can't have baby chicks unless you have a rooster. It's shocking how many people struggle with this.
Well, I am one of those people. And we talked about this last week. But the egg, so the rooster has to get to the egg. Has to get to the hen.
Yeah.
Before
the rooster doesn't mate with the egg, mates with the hen.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm positive.
All right. So if what you said is true,
that goes against the laws of nature.
He has to then go find the hen.
I don't like the hand gesture.
What are you trying to visualize? I just want you to understand what I mean.
All right.
He has to find her before she's plopped out her egg.
Well, it's a different deal with chickens. Like if they mate. Then she is, if they're mating, then she's laying fertilized eggs if she has been mated with in a certain time period. Now, I'm not sure on the exact time period, but
you could accidentally eat a baby chicken.
You can eat fertilized eggs. Some people say that there's like health benefits to doing that, but you can totally eat fertilized eggs. But most people, I mean, then you eat them quickly. Or they go in the fridge, and then it's not like the egg, if it's not sitting under the mom, it's not staying warm, and then it's not a baby chick developing. But yeah, listen, you join some backyard chicken Facebook groups like I am in on some, and the photos that people post of some of the eggs that they've cracked into, I just looked at one the other day, this lady, 3 fully green yolks.
Is that bad?
It was fully green. Now, I didn't read deep into it to see, because then people comment on this. Like, I've had backyard chickens over a decade, okay?
Okay.
I've never seen a green yolk.
Rocco eats hipster things. Rocco, have you had a green yolked egg from a person's backyard?
No.
I would not. I would stop.
Have you ever had, like,
roll at that point?
Yeah, there's some weird stuff that can happen.
Have you ever had one of the super bright orange eggs that come from a backyard kind of a chicken?
I've got some backyard chicken friends.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
What do you think of your chicken friends? Your backyard chicken friends, Rocco? Elizabeth won't be offended. Speak freely.
It seems like a lot of work to have some things. It's like homebrewers, you know? It's like, yeah, I'm really glad you made your own beer and it took you 6 months to do it and it sat in a basement bubbling and everything, but you could just go to the liquor store.
Yeah, you could. I know, but then it wouldn't be made by you. Then you wouldn't know that you could survive an apocalypse.
Do you find that Elizabeth. Rocco, do you find that your backyard egg people friends, that they're kind of egg snobs, aren't they? If they see your eggs.
They're probably food snobs in general.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, they just want food that comes from the ground and from the earth, not from a factory.
Rocco, did you learn anything about, were you researching over there about this egg situation?
The cloaca on cloaca sex action happens. It takes a few seconds.
And they both have cloacas, men and women.
But
chickens.
then how does the rooster stuff get into the egg?
It's a great question because I watched a video last week of this rooster running the joint. It was like an episode of The Feathered Bachelor.
Well, I know, because there's only one rooster and there's a lot of hens. You can't have multiple roosters. They'll kill each other.
Oh.
Haven't you ever heard of block biting?
Yes. Yes, I have.
Block fighting.
Yes.
Rhymes with block. But yes. It's the C word instead. I'm not going to say it on the radio. I'm not going to have you guys isolate that audio. Okay. I don't need that out in the world.
Well, I saw a video of a block going after these hens. And truly, you saw it happen. It happened so fast. It was crazy. She was never into it. And I just thought, how does... God, why does this keep coming up? Why do I find myself knee-deep in a segment in deep curiosity and ignorance about chickens' reproductive systems? That's just what I can't figure out. But my question is, do chickens have a wiener? Does a male chicken have a wiener?
Yeah.
Where?
I don't know, but it...
I don't think they do.
That, how are they mating then? Like, how is the transfer of the material happening if it's not through that? So then
I think it involves the cloaca.
So then what's happening is that the rooster is fertilizing. Then when the eggs are forming, because if you ever opened up a chicken, you would see lots of eggs. Have you ever seen this? There's eggs in all sorts of different stages of formation inside the body of a hen,
okay.
at any given time. And then a hen will lay an egg every couple days. And so if she is mated with, then the eggs that are within her become fertilized. And then as she's laying them, they are, you know, they can turn into babies. What are you looking up? Chicken porn over there? You're a sicko. You're sick. You need help.
No, but I was I try to use the quickest term to try to explain this to me. They do have images of the male rooster. I guess that's redundant. The rooster on top of the hen.
Right.
But the hen's receptor.
Right.
Is on her back.
Yeah.
Okay. But her vent. Mm-hmm. Where the eggs come out of is underneath.
Right.
Interesting. And his thing, there is a thing, but it does not.
It's not impressive.
I don't think so.
Okay.
And so that was something. And then somebody deep fried chicken in a very offensive way. And now I have to get off of this search.
Listen, animal mating rituals are fascinating. Crazy. And in the vast majority of species, it does not seem as if the female animal is ever enjoying this process.
It's just fascinating.
I mean, there's very few species in which the female is her enjoyment is even considered or expected. Very few. Humans being one of them, and there's very few others. You could probably look it up, but I bet there's only like four or five others.
I saw this long shot, this wide shot of two rhinos, Serengeti. Just them alone and a guy with a long lens. Jeez. On a 3-day weekend, I guess. Okay. This National Geographic guy trying to get it. This rhino comes up behind this other rhino.
I can't believe we haven't gotten a call from your manager.
No, but I think Amy's on vacation.
Okay, good.
But this rhino, as I remember, plops his rhino hooves up on her back.
Okay, I get it.
And then it begins.
Again, the hand motions. Okay. Can you put your hands to your sides?
It begins, and then, no kidding, this lady rhino looks over at the camera like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, is this happening? Mm-hmm. It was just such a human look from her of just like, she knows the camera's there. She understands everything that's happening. It's crazy. I saw horses do it. Changed my perspective on horses. It's crazy. It's a crazy world out there. I'm not trying to be immature about this. It is a crazy world how populations continue.
Fascinating. Wow. The circle of life is a fascinating thing. And when you think about that initial decision of like, this is how this is going to get done.
Yeah.
It's very intriguing.
Crazy.
Here we are.
How'd the first people even know?
They knew though.
Rocco?
Final
word is yours. You looked up your own things. We both tried to get to the bottom of it. And I think we came out a touch more confused.
Yes. Guess what I got?
Unexpected bonus.
Bonus ham.
Today's for
first day of spring, I have the scoop on free ice cream today.
Do it.
Oh, this
Dairy
is amazing.
Queen saving the day.
It's really nostalgic to go there. The ones that you walk up to, but they're not open today yet.
Yeah, they're really like neighborhood hubs.
For
and then
sure.
you see your neighbors and your friends.
Yeah, sometimes there's drug deals, but no. it's not that often.
That's true.
That's only on a
That's just the real that's, life story.
And I'll be like, kids, look
over there. Is that a blizzard?
What kind of sprinkles?
It is snow.
That was the Donna and Steve.
Just a little bonus.
How did free ice cream turn into that?
I blame you.
You brought up drugs.
We have to go.
Twice.
She brought up drugs. That was Matt Belanger's voice that you heard right there. All right, we're over time. Okay. Amy's going to get mad at us. Rocco, your clock is going off. When we come back, we'll call the cafeteria to find out what the soup of the day is. That's next.
All right, from talking about life and birth and eggs to the other end of the life cycle, it's Rocco here for Crescent Tide Cremation Services. You know I talk about Crescent Tide every day because my mom once heard an ad I made for Crescent Tide here at My Talk and said, you know what, Rocco? Those are all the things that I've sort of been hoping for when it's my time. I don't want a big, expensive, fancy funeral. I don't want people parading around looking at me. I want a simple cremation. I want you kids to go out to dinner, celebrate me, bring my brothers and sisters, bring your kids, do all that. And you know what? I'm even going to pay for it. So she went in, had to sit down with Lisa over at Crescent Tide here in St. Paul and decided to pay that all out so it's all buttoned up. When they say it's simple, transparent, and affordable, the transparent part means that when you do sit down with Lisa, whether it's a pre-plan or whether you're dealing with a death in the family, you have options and they're going to talk you through it. They're not going to trick you into anything. They're good people over there. Simple cremation start at just $800 at Crescent Tide.
Get your headphones on. It's time to start the portion of the show.
Oh, this is such a great portion of the show, too. It's Don and Steve, The Experience on My Talk 107.1. Thanks for listening, wherever you happen to listen. Elizabeth Reese has been in all day for Donna Valentine.
Hello.
Thank you, Elizabeth. And then you'll do a television show later this afternoon.
Yeah, I've been really happy to be here. I love hanging out with you guys.
My hope is to be mid-nap. Not because I don't want to watch you, but I just want, just to rub it in, I just want to be napping when you're working. Is that so wrong?
That's so rude.
I guess what I want.
It's so rude.
Maybe the snow starts coming down a little early. Actually, the snow's not supposed to start until about 7 o'clock. So for anybody going out to see you at the Medina Entertainment Center for Twin Cities Live in your town, should be good.
Mm-hmm.
Should make for a cozy little night. I think I want to do a movie with the little children.
The kiddos, that's what we're going to do. We always do pizza and a movie on Friday nights. We're going to order in the pizza.
Yeah.
And then we have an episode of Mandalorian.
Yes, we have one too.
Because it came out on Wednesday and we haven't watched it yet. We also watched all of WandaVision. Did I tell you that?
Oh, no. We and really like that.
My best friend said to me, you're letting your kids watch WandaVision? You know, it gets kind of dark. That's a judgmental thing to say, but you know, she said it. Said whatever. We've been friends for a long time. It's cool. 30 years of friendship. And I said, I do this because of Steve. Because Steve lets his kids watch anything.
That's
he doesn't
true.
Care.
That's, he's lying.
He will put in it. Is it rated R? It's fine.
What she's saying is not true.
Care at all. And so I started letting my kids watch stuff. Because remember, I would say, like, your little ones have watched Star Wars. Aren't they scared? And you were like, no, it's fine. And so then if you let your kids watch it, then I let mine watch it.
Well, you know, Donna said, you're letting your kids watch The Mandalorian?
Yeah.
And I said, yeah. And she was like, it's so violent. And I said, you know, I guess it doesn't register the same way because it's pew pew.
And
violent.
No blood.
It's blasters, never blood.
Right.
There's always just like sparks.
Yeah.
You know? And so I said, yeah, it feels different. But then, gosh, there was another show later on that she suggested, like, oh, are your kids watching that? And I was like, are you nuts? No, they're not watching it. That thing would horrify them.
When our kids watched Black Panther, there was blood in like a punching scene, you know, because the Marvel ones are a little different.
Sure.
There can be Yeah. Some that aren't, and then some that are. Mm-hmm. They're a little inconsistent with their violence levels, which makes it very tricky as a parent to figure out what to do. And frankly, I don't have time to pre-watch every single thing that we're going to watch with our children.
One of the ones you can go to is Common Sense Media, I think.
Boy, that sounds like a thrill.
Well, not for leisure, but if you're like, wait, can we watch this? Then it will tell you, oh, there's a scene where a guy's head gets cut off or something like that.
Okay, that's kind of nice, because then Frankie did get really like, he did not like the blood. It was like a punch. It was something with a punch where the Black Panther, he got, you could see blood. And then Frankie like really lost it, my 5-year-old. Okay. And I realized, oh, okay, there's the line. And now I've traumatized you.
Yes, you did.
Anyway. What else is happening today?
We're going to, we might get an air fryer, ladies and gentlemen. That's not why you called. But we have been without an air fryer for about 2 months now since ours crapped out. And Lou and I, you ever become paralysis by analysis, doesn't matter, guys, you know what I mean?
This is like every time I online shop, I really struggle with it.
She has sent me air fryer links a few different times, and I've looked, and neither of us have been able, we don't know why. And last time we were like, we have to buy, let's just buy it. We just have to buy one. So I think we might have an air fryer, which means we could be eating something crispy tonight in the new air fryer, which I'm jazzed about. With that, let's find out about a soft option at our cafeteria.
Come down for moose soup after.
It's always a surprise.
Oh, no, it's mac and cheese.
It's always a surprise.
Oh, no, it can't be.
With your soup, hungry soup, day.
Soup,
so down.
Soup is a
big.
It is big.
Soup of the day.
Cheers, Brian.
B-Dog.
What's up?
It's Steve. And guess what? Elizabeth Reese from Twin Cities Live is joining us today.
Hi, Brian.
Brian, listen, I'm going to tell you the truth. I already found out what today's soup of the day is. However, our listener does not know. Would you do the honors of telling them?
How did you find out?
I got my people.
You got reconnaissance down here?
Yeah, I got some folks. Yeah, and you might not know. They might be on your payroll.
Uh-oh. Oh, all right.
There's Holly a mole got some in
soup.
There.
Holly got soup.
Oh, okay.
What is it?
French onion.
Oh, that's great.
My dad says never eat French onion at a job interview.
No, because the cheese is just dripping, you know.
Let's talk about the general nutrition facts.
At a job interview? Sorry.
I don't know.
The 80s. Nobody's doing that anymore.
I don't know.
Let's go to lunch and I'll interview you while you eat salad. What a terrible setup.
I don't know.
The business lunch, the safe bet is the chicken sandwich. Mm. Always.
Okay.
That's the go-to for
me. All right.
What's the entree today?
I got, we got a few. We got a Cajun chicken fettuccine.
Ooh, that sounds good.
We have a wild rice hot dish.
Ooh.
Chicken wild rice hot dish.
Yum.
And then I made some, you remember the flying saucer sandwiches, deli? You put them on a burger bun?
No.
We saw the flying saucers.
Oh, that's fun. But like, what's in the filling?
Oh, we got ham, turkey, all sorts of stuff.
Oh, but it's just like on a bun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Flying saucer.
Yeah, that's cute. Oh, I'm going to start calling that for my kids when I make them little sandwiches on a bun.
There you go.
So much for mailing it in on a Friday. This ain't your mother's chef choice. This is the real deal. All right, Brian, we have to go run the radio.
Whatever.
All right, see ya.
Bye.
That's Brian Naughton from our cafeteria. You know, people come up to him now.
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
We made a star of him. We're a star-making show. And Elizabeth,
I think it's
I'm humbled to say, I think people might start recognizing you now.
How exciting
will
that be?
Because you've got to fill in on the Don and Steve experience.
Almost 20 years in television, and finally, I'm starting to achieve something.
Come up and say hello.
That's going to be nice.
Thank you very much for filling in.
I love hanging out with you.
Great having you here.
It's
great having you. Really fun.
Always time with you makes my heart sing, as you know.
That is so nice. Donna Valentine's going to be back on Monday. Matt Belanger will be in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So you think I have high energy? That dude's psychotic, and he goes hard at a 10 all 3 hours, so you'll get that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
He also has Welsh corgis.
Two of them. Finley and
Fuzzer.
Something like that.
Franklin.
He'll talk about them. You'll get to know him. But he's great. He's going to be filling in for me, and then I'll come back with stories of our trip to Augusta National at the Mass. I'll come back as a patron, is what they call you there at Augusta National. He's Zamboni. He's going to stick around, and he'll be on for the Adventures of Bradley and Don. And then Lojay on after that. Thanks for hanging.